This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive. We ask the questions
so you don't have to.
It is 14 minutes past four. You're with Em and Warren.
We've recently heard reports about retailers using facial recognition software in their shops. Well, why are they using it? And could it actually be beneficial for us as consumers? Well, Dr. Jason Pallant is a senior lecturer in marketing from Swinburne University of Technology, joins us monthly. Jason, great to have you back.
So great to be back.
Jason, why do brands want to use facial recognition technology in the first place?
Yeah, so this is a really interesting topic, right? Because there's a lot of layers to this. There's the sort of angle of, you know, what are they using it for? Why are they collecting this data? There's questions around, you know, do we as consumers know and accept this? And there's even questions around, you know, what are the sort of legal protections around it? There's a lot, you know, it's sort of very complex space. The answer to, you know, what are they trying to do with it? There's a couple of angles here where facial recognition can be beneficial to stores. One is, unfortunately, over the last couple of years, we've seen an increase in, you know, things like theft, violence against staff members in store. You know, people, particularly around with lockdowns and restrictions around COVID, there was unfortunately, you know, quite a lot of negative interactions happening in stores. And so one thing that retailers are trying to do is increase the security, keep their sort of staff and other customers safe. And one of the ways that some of the retailers were trialing doing that is, you know, this facial recognition technology of knowing who's walked into store, being able to tell if that's somebody who has, you know, caused an issue in the past, and that's somebody that they could, you know, do something about before it elevates the second time. So that's one angle. And then the second one is sort of around a personalization of the shopping experience. So knowing what, that you walk in and you're a regular customer and what you like, they might be able to serve you in a different way. That's sort of the two sort of promises, I guess, of this facial recognition type technology.
What sort of data are they keeping? Like you mentioned that they could be using this information to know, okay, we're a regular customer. Does that mean that they're also, you know, tracking what it is that we buy and then making a note of what we're purchasing?
Yeah, so this is where it starts getting into these really grey areas. And this is where some of the complaints against some of the retailers recently has been, where there's sort of, there's one angle where it's, you know, tracking somebody through a store. So once they walk in, you're able to identify that person as they move through the store, but then when they leave, nothing is kept. That's one sort of angle. What was happening in some of these cases is people, they're actually keeping, you know, people's faces on file and referring back to them over time. And that's where some people got a bit upset about that, of saying, you know, why do you need to do that? And the retailers are sort of saying, you know, that's for theft prevention, that's for security. But, you know, there's also, as you said, that angle of, well, is that then being tracked to, well, you saw what I looked at while I was in the store, and now you know who I am. So am I suddenly going to start getting emails or text messages about right. what I looked at in a store, which is, you know, people definitely don't really like that kind of, what we feel might be a bit intrusive use of that kind of data.
Jason, let's say I go into one of the stores that's using it and I walk in. Do they sort of then, that do they know me as, you know, Warren, or do they know me as sort of face ABC123 that visits the store regularly? It's like, I mean, I suppose if I use my rewards card, for example, do they then match the face with me swiping my rewards card and then they know who I am? Or if I don't use that, then am I just a number that regularly visits the store and they can't actually identify me personally?
Yeah, well, I mean, in both cases, realistically, what's happening is, you know, your data and what is being connected to you, whether that's your loyalty card or your credit card or your face or whatever it is sitting in a massive database of all of the customers. There's really not anybody, you know, looking up what's Warren been up to and then wanting to, you know, sort of target you in a personal level. You know, it's happening at a sort of mass scale with various algorithms and AI and all sorts of stuff
right.
that's trawling through this data. But even still, a lot of consumers aren't comfortable with that level of sharing data with retailers. And that's fine. They should have the right to not do that if they want. And that was something that was happening in this case. There was a bit of a question of, you know, are we aware as consumers that when we walk into some of these stores, our face might be tracked? And are we comfortable with that or not? And in the these cases, it was a sort of a resounding no from a lot of consumers.
We're chatting with Dr. Jason Palant, Senior Lecturer in Marketing from Swinburne University of Technology, about the use of facial recognition technology in retail settings. Jason, you mentioned, you know, not all consumers, in fact, most, aren't necessarily pleased with what's happening. Could we see a situation where there is this option to opt in or out as you're entering a store?
And that's exactly sort of what our research really points to, is what consumers want. They want transparency. So we want to know what sort of data, and that includes our face, it includes, you know, our image, it includes our purchasing behavior, it includes, you know, any demographic, any kind of data about us. We just want to know where it is, who's collecting it, what are they doing with it? And we want some control over that. We want to be able to say, no, I'm not comfortable with my face being recognized or being tracked for a variety of, you know, valid reasons. And so I would like to opt out of that. And that can't be, you know, well, you can't shop in this store because we do it. You know, it's, there's got to be a better way for retailers to make us aware of what they're doing and give us options if we don't want to provide our data in that way.
Jason, could it also be good for us? Like, could I walk into a store, it recognises me, and I buy a certain hand moisturiser, for example, and then the electronic tag recognises that I'm there and flashes it on special or something like that? Could we benefit as consumers from it? Is it all bad?
Yeah, so I'll flip this around by asking you both a question, and I haven't pre-tested this, so it might fail on me. But how do you unlock your phones?
With my face.
With your face, right? And so this is the sort of thing where, for whatever reason, probably a sort of value we see of convenience, a lot of us have accepted using our face and our image to unlock our phones, do our internet banking, log into our social media, right? Use it as essentially our password. But, you know, in those settings, we as consumers understand what's being used with it, at least somewhat, and we see benefits in doing it. And that's the bit that I think is missing from a lot of retailers, is they're not communicating clearly to consumers what the potential benefits could be, which could be, as you say, Warren, that you walk in and you are identified. This staff member, you know, could come to you immediately because they know you really like service or you need help with a particular item that you were searching for. They could personalize that experience. Now, again, some people will hate that. They won't want that level of personalization, and so they should be able to opt out of it. People who do want it should know about it, and that should be communicated to them, and they should have the option, just like we do, of using our face to unlock our phones or not. We should have that option in a retail setting as well.
And I suppose with our phones too, we can at least go in and, you know, review the terms and conditions and use it or don't use it, like you said, or, you know, restrict whether our data is sent to the, you know, the maker of the phone, etc.
And that's something that I think we've seen, you know, the phones and the operating systems really do and push, is that apps now have to ask you, will you allow this app to track you across other sites or other apps? And you can say no. That might turn off some of the features of that app. It might require that tracking to do what it's functionally meant to do, but that's your choice as a consumer. And I think that's what really where this is coming down to in a retail setting, is that we need to provide consumers that choice, which means they need to be aware of what is happening.
Absolutely. And you also mentioned that it's important for these stores to let consumers know how this could potentially be of benefit to them. You know, there could be some potential for this to be a positive thing for us as consumers. You've done some research about how brands might be able to make it a little bit more appealing. What did you find?
Yeah, so it comes back to those sort of three factors. And one is, as you said, it's the benefits or the value of it. And it needs to be to the consumer. So it's not, you know, consumers don't, well, we don't care a lot about, you know, preventing loss and theft for the retailer. That's sort of their business. As a consumer, we're saying, what better service or what better offers or what better products or what am I benefiting from this personalization? So think about things like, you know, if you use a music streaming service, that it creates, you know, custom playlists for you, and they're generally pretty good. That's using your data to benefit you through that personalization. So it's saying, what could we get in a retail setting that would sort of be valuable to us to share that data? And then it's the other two elements that I mentioned before, which is transparency, understanding what data's being collected, where it's being used, and control, right? So having some options to opt in. And some of that also comes back to us as consumers educating ourselves and being aware of the kinds of data that we are using. For example, if we've signed into public Wi-Fis, then that device is probably being, you know, tracked as it moves throughout that place. Are we comfortable with that? If not, then know that and choose to do a different behavior. If you are comfortable with it, then fantastic. Let it happen and reap those benefits as you see fit.
Do you think we'll start to see some retailers, you know, have a marketing campaign perhaps on the benefits and try and sell it to us?
Yeah, and I think they should. I think this is really the big solution to this whole issue is that a lot of things are happening that are technically legal. You know, retailers are allowed to collect this data. They sit within terms and conditions. Technically, we've agreed to them. But we know that consumers don't know what we have agreed to. We don't know the extent to which our data. You know, I teach a unit called Data Empowered Marketing, and I get my students to actually go to their social media accounts and request their data, because you can now do this. And they will send you gigabytes and gigabytes of everything they've ever collected about you. Wow. Have a look at what they actually collect. It's every photo, it's every private message you've ever sent, it's every page you've ever gone to, everything you've ever liked, commented, etc.
is on
that database. Now, are you comfortable with that? And if not, then maybe think about how you use those platforms and what you're giving up. Is that beneficial to you? That's my key message to us as consumers. That's what we can do, is choose what we use and don't use based on the data that we are providing.
Jason, it's always an amazing and fascinating chat. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, and I hope I haven't scared you off going to any store or ever using a service again.
I'm getting my landline reinstalled.
And that's it. That's it. Go off the grid.
Thanks, Jason. We'll chat to you in a month's time.
Both.
Thank you. Dr. Jason Pallant, Senior Lecturer in Marketing from Swinburne University of Technology.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.